Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talking about some of the bad news when it comes to the economy in the United States. Of course, if you are here, you probably already know a lot of this. You know it's harder now than ever before to make ends meet, to make the rent payment. The rents are getting record levels, as well as the mortgage payments. If you are, as you know, unlucky enough to have bought a house recently, you know that the payments are really crazy.
Anecdotally, I moved here in 2019 from Seattle, Washington, and I was so happy. Because
just
like,
in time, too.
Well, I mean, for a lot of reasons, but economically, because, you know, a guy could go up for a beer and a shot and some grub, and it was half price compared to the big city, right? I'm sorry to say that the prices here in, you know, southwestern New Hampshire have now caught up to all of that.
Oh, but what are the prices now in Seattle, though?
I don't know. I'm sure. I'm certain that they have.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that it only took four years for, you know, we'll say Keene, New Hampshire is for a point of reference, for the prices of, like, a shot. They're, like, you know, $9 now for a shot.
Whoa, really?
Depending on where you go. Sometimes they're less than that, but most of the places now, it's like $9, $10 even. Isn't unheard
crazy.
Of.
You can go buy your whole bottle of alcohol for that much, right?
No.
No?
No, prices of that have gone up to you.
Okay,
yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, good luck.
It's crazy.
So I'm just saying that, like, it, you know, when I got here, a guy could go out, you know, $25, $30, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's $40 to $60.
Mm.
You know,
well, you just
You
just have to look at it the right way. It's not the prices have gone up. We've just made the entire world a concert venue where you expect $9 drinks.
We didn't do that because during peak lockdown, the only live music that I'm aware of was me and Aria and Mushmouth Mike.
At doing Flood Fest.
At Fort Fest.
Yeah, 2020.
Playing live, yeah. Yeah, see, musicians, if you're listening, when there's a lockdown and you don't have a stage, you don't just stay home and cry about it.
Make your own stage.
You make your own freaking stage.
Right? I mean, the fact is that you can be like, hey, at this period in time, I had the largest audience in the world.
And probably true.
I mean, hey, we might be headed for lockdown 2.0.
There's a lot of talk about that right now with colleges apparently bringing back mask mandates, some businesses apparently in Hollywood at least bringing them back. Mm-hmm. It may just be one. I don't know. I haven't looked at all the details. But
now, I for one think that this is all just a plot to make sure that we don't end up with Biden on the same debate stage as Trump because, hey, it worked last time.
Well, so far Trump is refusing to debate even the Republicans, so I don't know if he's going to even debate.
Yeah, he doesn't want to acknowledge them. Fair enough. I mean, it's a better tactic in my opinion.
Wash them all down the toilet.
They're all garbage. All right, so you were sharing with us, Pecos Mountaineer, that apparently these credit rating agencies who, one, recently reduced the credit rating of the United States federal government from AAA to AA+. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but apparently that's a big deal.
This sounds like me trying to, like, I don't know, finesse my parents into thinking that, you know, a B+ was as good as an A-.
You know? Yeah, it honestly is a lot like that.
And now you're talking about the big banks may be downgraded. That hasn't happened yet, though.
No, hasn't happened yet, but you do see the, it's strange, you see the announced threat of the possibility coming from multiple credit rating agencies of downgrading the big boys, which is just a very unusual
tactic. It's a strange thing to telegraph.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't telegraph that they were reducing the U.S.'s rating before they did it. Mm-hmm. They just did it.
Yeah, but what are they actually doing, or what is actually happening there with the U.S. Bank, which is one of the biggest banks in the country? It's a more of a Midwest Western bank, as I understand it. that is under some kind of financial trouble. What's happening?
Oh, U.S. banks suffer an $18.9 billion.
Oh, it's U.S. banks, plural?
Yes, U.S. banks.
Oh, okay, because there is bank called U.S. Bank.
Right.
As well.
Right.
Okay, sorry about that.
U.S. banks suffer an $18.9 billion in losses as J.P. Morgan Chase and Capital One take big hits from bad loans. America's
Bad commercial real estate loans or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. It's those bad commercial real estate loans that they have this credit crisis going on with, like, $1.2 billion that they need to collect that they ain't going to collect all of.
Yeah.
Yeah. America's biggest banks are taking hits to their bottom line as soaring interest rates cause billions of dollars in loans to fall apart. J.P. Morgan Chase, Capital One, and others lost a combined $18.9 billion in the second quarter of this year due to sour loans.
What does that mean, lost? Like, oh, I put it somewhere and now I can't find it.
It means they gave this loan out and it ain't coming back.
Yeah. Yeah,
at least most of it.
This is a sure bet. I'm positive that these companies can pay this.
Nope. So what do? Well, you have to repo the property, right, and then sell it off to the highest bidder.
Right. Mm-hmm.
At God knows what fraction of the original price.
Yeah, the banks are facing...
Who the hell wants to buy an office building?
Yeah. But didn't this bank or these banks just sort of create the money to loan out of
thin air? Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
So did they really lose anything?
Well, so here's the thing. You have to keep the juggling act going. That's how this whole thing goes.
So that they can print more for another loan down the road.
Right. I mean, every time I research this, it reminds me of the old joke of, like, a guy's driving down the road, and, you know, every now and again he stops, goes, and, like, bangs on the side of his big old semi-truck, and then he starts heading down the road again, and his passenger eventually goes, like, dude, what are you doing? And he goes, well, I'm only rated for 2,000 pounds, but I'm carrying pigeons. So every time we go to the weigh station, I got to make sure that half the pigeons are in the air. And honestly, that seems to be the way this whole thing is built. Like, if any point in this process loses faith, and yes, it is absolutely a faith-based system.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as any part of this process loses faith, guess what?
Crashing down.
It's going to be great.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
from our perspective, yes.
The downstream, yes, but it will eventually be great.
Okay, but from the bank's perspective, they were planning on these monies that they lent out, which were created from thin air, mind you, but they were planning on getting it back plus interest,
right?
And now that's not happening.
Right, they booked that as profit.
Right, they figured they would have that to then reinvest and then, you know, pay people with or whatever, and now they don't.
Yeah, and the thing is that, of course, once you've got this set up, you start making promises for all that profit that you're expecting to come in. So now that you have all of these promises not being fulfilled to you, you have to start breaking promises that you already made to other companies. So all of this free money that was supposed to come in is not coming in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now all this free money that other people expected is not going to get them.
Domino effect.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it we don't know exactly when the critical mass will get hit. But at some point, more and more people will start freaking out, and you end up with an avalanche effect.
Yes. Central banking. The largest Ponzi scheme to ever exist.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, what this all comes down to is a little over 100 years ago, they decided that instead of having a system where this bank is allowed to fail because it was doing bad things, it was fractionally reserving, it was saying it had money it didn't have, it was making promises that it couldn't keep, so then that local bank of yours fails.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets replaced. But instead of that, they went, no, that is slowing down our economy. That is slowing down our ability to steal from the people. So here's what we're going to do instead. We're going to put all of that risk in one big bucket. And I'm sure that that one big bucket will never fall. Well, that's the problem. Here we are. Because you took all of the risk that used to belong to different banks, and instead of it being part of the bank's risk, it is the financial system risk.
Mm.
So now you have the entire financial system doing exactly what people said 100 years ago was going to happen.
Yeah.
like, hey, great, you've kept all of these individual banks from failing, no matter how evil they are, no matter how much they screw over the population, no matter how much they lie, no matter how much they fake their books, they all get to continue existing. And, you know, there'll be all sorts of nonsense, like a while back, J.P. Morgan, like shortly ago, J.P. Morgan, yeah, well, sure, we paid out all of this, all of these fines for faking all of this gold that we didn't actually have, but those fines were less than a tenth of what we made off of it, so...
Yeah.
And in the process, we didn't have to admit any wrongdoing.
Right. Yeah.
Ain't that just special?
Yeah.
Right. So
meanwhile,
you
if you sell a Bitcoin, they send you to prison.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and honestly, I think that's the catalyst of what is causing that one big bucket to finally tip over, is you've had a completely nonsensical fiat system throughout the entire world, but that's the thing. It has nothing to rub up against. It has no competition.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
the fact of the matter
now.
Right. So you had all these other governments printing their dollars, but they didn't print them as fast as the U.S. because they knew that whatever speed limit the U.S. set, they could go faster than that and still do pretty well for themselves, what with not being the reserve currency of the world and all.
Yeah.
So every time the U.S. got a little bit more corrupt, there was an exponential effect in every country on Earth of getting a little bit more corrupt and a little bit more corrupt. And finally, there suddenly emerges an unfakeable, unpaper-overable, unmanipulatable kind of currency. And they played every card they can. They're like, hey, we'll tame this with a futures market. That's how we tamed gold, because we have this great idea of, hey, I will sell you gold I don't have. Because up until then, you had to actually have the gold
right.
in order to give someone else a right to have that gold.
Right.
But then they came out with this, oh, I've got a great idea. We'll just have it all on paper where I'll promise you the gold that I don't have. And as long as we sell it back to each other before the end of this, then I don't ever have to have had that gold.
Right.
But wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden the supply goes up while the demand is the same.
Yeah.
So the price plummets.
Yeah.
And the great thing about that is all of, especially the large financial institutions and the central banks of the U.S. and China and Russia get to buy up all of this incredibly cheap, suppressed price gold because they know exactly what they're
doing. But they're getting the real thing.
Yes.
Right? Right.
They're getting actual
bars.
Physical metal. Whereas everyone else, oh, it's, yeah, gold, yeah, I have 5%.
It's in your portfolio.
Yeah, it's in my portfolio. I've got 5% in gold.
I can't put your hands on it, though.
Right.
And if you ask for it, then get ready to wait while they find it to possibly maybe send it to you 90 or 180 days later or whenever.
Yeah, and
so,
good luck getting the right price on that.
Get the real deal and secure it yourself.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is we have had a period of extraordinary peace in this very corrupt financial system. There has been no rocking the boat for a very long time, and now the boat is rocking.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing to do, in my opinion, is get yourself away from the risk factor of other institutions. Get away from the risk of the exchanges and the banks and all of these custodians, because when the chips are down, they will run off with your money.
Agreed.
It happened before, it will happen again. And this time, we're not talking about just, you know, the middle of Eurasia, as big as the USSR falling was. We're not talking about just one part of the earth. We are talking about the entire global financial system will be in a meltdown because everything has to shift. Now, the bright side is that so far we're going at this very nice and slow. So, like, it looks like it's possible the black swan that I have been concerned about, where all of a sudden Saudi Arabia sells one drop of oil for yuan, and then every country on earth has to split the difference between dollars and yuan, looks like that might not be occurring because there seems to be a nice slow trickle of, well, we're going to have this oil over here for yuan, and this oil over here for rubles, and this oil over here for rupees.
Right.
So it gives all of these countries a chance to, like, slowly move away from the U.S. instead of just one massive sudden
If it's
shock.
A race for the exits, then it would be really bad for the price of the dollar, right?
Yes, exactly. So everyone is tiptoeing toward the exit of the U.S. dollar reserve currency. We don't want to spook you guys, but we're just going to go back.
Yeah, the Homer Simpson meme right. where he's fading back into the bushes.
Yeah, that is absolutely what we are seeing the countries of the world do.
Yeah.
Listening to you speak on this reminds me of the telephone inversion, right? Almost like, I mean, it's eerie to me to hear you
what
speak
is that,
of it.
The inversion?
So the inversion is back in the day, all you had was copper.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, here comes fiber, right? And you remember when they had to go around neighborhoods and like upgrade from copper to fiber, and the original internet was run over the phone network. And so, yeah, the modem had to be plugged into your phone line. It made the horrible noise.
Oh, yes. Right?
And so now that has all inverted. Right. So now phones run over the internet. Right?
That's right.
All the copper is gone. Mm-hmm. Right.
With, well, no, the copper is still there.
Exception. There's copper in a few homes and stuff like that for landlines. But the majority of phone traffic runs over the internet now.
It gets converted.
It all gets converted into digital, runs over the internet now. And so there is an inversion. And so I, based on your description, the vision in my head goes something like this. In 10, 20 years from now, someone is going to attempt to make a payment, and something, you know, somebody will be unfamiliar with how that payment's being made. They're like, oh, that's coming from an old bank account from in the late or the early 2000s.
Oh, wow, a SWIFT system and transfer. So, I haven't seen that in a while.
Right, exactly. They're like, oh, we need to do a special thing to make sure that this gets converted and the payment goes through, because it's unusual for something this old to have come through our system. Right?
Right,
where all of the banking will be inverted now, and even anybody who has anything, you know, a relic of the old banking system, they might still have an account somewhere, somehow, but it's going to be like a newspaper company. They're very few, very far between, right? You don't have to deal with them much, right, because they're basically dead, right? But, like, somebody somewhere is going to be like, oh, sorry, Mrs. Smith, but, yeah, we're going to have to do this in a manual way, and some tech support person will have to help them out to make their transaction go.
Kind of like when you suddenly have the demand for a personal check.
Right.
We will only accept a personal check, usually from something that never has to update its systems.
Like
government.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, the amazing thing that is happening here is exactly that, and what you will see happening. So massive, massive changes need to occur. Now, these can happen in one of two ways. They can either happen in a top-down, centralized way. But the problem is those are extremely corrupt, extremely inefficient.
Fed Now.
Right. The Fed Now Fed program. Now.
That's what you're talking about. That's top down, right?
The Fed Now program is one of them. Mm. The BRICS currency.
CBDCs.
The CBDCs. So all of these top down, centrally controlled, central bank digital currencies, all of these top down, centrally bank, centrally controlled systems. They are extremely inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's got to get paid off. No one's going to do their job until they have their piece of the pie. And it's going to take forever. And there's going to be a bunch of problems with it.
Sure.
On the other hand, they are competing with decentralized systems. So guess whose approval we need to do this with Bitcoin? Nobody's. Guess whose approval we need to, like, hey, I can put up this way of changing the decentralized autonomous organization of Dash? Nobody's. You don't need anyone's approval for that.
Yeah.
So all of these changes can be figured out in a decentralized way by who knows who, who knows where.
I don't need a bank or a government to prove that I own my property that I'm going to use as collateral for my loan that I'm going to get, because that can all be done now by technology.
Yeah, and that's one of the great parts about this, is that it eliminates the risk. Because there's always that possibility that whatever institution is either going to collapse or is going to run off with your money or screw you out over in some other way.
But meanwhile, I mean, this, I agree with you, that's the direction things are going. But it's going to be a bumpy, ugly road.
Oh, yeah, the fish out of water hasn't really started just yet. I mean, we saw signs of it, you know, the Crypto 6, for example, the raid here.
The Tornado Cash, these guys just, there was an arrest within the last week of these guys who have now been indicted. Another guy is still somewhere in the world. They haven't gotten their hands on him yet. But one of these programmers, one was arrested last summer. They just snatched another one up this week for simply writing code that they released onto the internet that somebody who the U.S. government doesn't like, they claim the North Koreans, used this code to take some Ethereum that they hacked from somewhere and mixed it up. Because Tornado Cash is a mixer technology. It potentially could obscure the source and destination of a certain cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. And so the U.S. federal government Treasury Department has said, this is a crime. Your free speech, that's what programming is. This is now a crime. You made this thing that some criminal used, so therefore you go to prison, and you go to prison, and you go to prison. So anybody they can identify as being involved with any decentralized technology, they are under threat right now.
It's almost as if Satoshi Nakamoto gave us the blueprint for how to make this happen.
Mm-hmm. You mean do it anonymously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it as now the technology has grown into DAOs.
Yeah.
Sure. Right? So we have the ability.
Like, they're starting to target those, though, now.
Of course
they're
they
saying,
are.
Oh, the DAO is a legal entity, and it can be sued, and it can really be targeted.
That is really the beauty of this
situation.
But they
can't arrest a DAO.
Yeah.
They can't throw a DAO in jail.
They can throw the members in jail.
That's what I'm saying. So all of you developers out there, if you're listening, take a page from the Cypherpunks, take a page from Satoshi Nakamoto. When you're working on this stuff and you want to release it into the wild, do it anonymously.
Keep it quiet, yeah.
Do it anonymously. Right. I mean, it's like the DAO, the thing itself doesn't have to be quiet, but your involvement with it does, unless you want to, you know, take that risk.
Well, I mean, that's good advice now, but a lot of these people have already been public with their involvement in these things, and they are under threat. And you can't blame somebody for saying, "Hey, I did that. You know, that's good work. I should deserve some credit for the thing
of your creation."
Yeah, for the thing that I did. And who would have thought 5 years ago, before any of this really started to happen in the cryptocurrency world, no one thought they were going to be arrested for writing code.
Right.
I mean, that was like completely out of the realm of possibility.
I would love to hear like a free speech specialist attorney like give us the lowdown on like, hey, code is free speech, right?
Apparently not.
I mean
that needs to be set in court, but I don't know if it has been.
Well, I mean, what free speech is even being protected anymore? And the thing is, you didn't realize that you'd be arrested. You didn't realize what you were doing. You didn't know what a government is.
Mm.
A government is violence. It is force. It is coercion. That's all it has ever been. That's all it can ever be. But the great thing is that it's way harder to target these decentralized organizations than, say, a centralized exchange like Binance or something like that. So this is going to clean up the centralization that has accumulated in this decentralized system.
There's more coming up here. You can join the show if you want to comment. The number is 603-283-6160. Apparently a federal judge decided that Tornado Cash is a quote-unquote entity. It's just code. There's more coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
U.S. USA News Update. Three people are dead after a shooting inside a Dollar General store in Jacksonville on Saturday afternoon. The sheriff says a white shooter left behind a manifesto showing a racial motivation. A shooting at a Boston parade left seven people injured. Two people were taken into custody. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is ordering flags lowered to half-staff Saturday to mark 2 years since 13 Americans died during the U.S. withdrawal of Afghanistan. Bob Barker died Saturday at the age of 99. Barker hosted The Price is Right for 35 years. Gran Turismo is off to a fast start at the box office. The racing film, based on a true story, earned $8.5 million on its opening day and could rake in another $6 million over the weekend, but it's expected to face a battle from Barbie for the top spot. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice, my mother was down with some sort of fever, people at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Captain Singing, he's ready for Beer Talk Live coming up here later tonight. That'll be at 10:30 Eastern Time, about 1 hour from now.
I am ready.
About a half an hour after the end of our... Oop, sorry about that.
He was not ready.
Apparently. I wasn't ready in that case. Didn't have his mic on. But Beer Talk Live is coming up at 10:30 Eastern. It is an online-only...
What have I said on this program that deserves this level of censorship?
Yeah, well, hopefully the captain will get it right tonight after 10:30 Eastern
time. No promises.
Maybe.
It is Beer Talk Live. That is a show you guys do. It is off the radio. It is internet only, so no FCC to get in the way of you expressing yourself or you guys expressing yourselves. So stay tuned for that. It'll be on our video channels. We have one primarily that we really like and maybe about 10 others that are okay. So check out the Odyssey channel over at watch.freetalklive.com. Just bookmark that URL. That's watch.freetalklive.com and come back about a half hour after the end of this radio show, so 10:30 Eastern time tonight. By the way, big thanks to Curry, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. He is a silver-level supporter, which means Curry is contributing $5 a month to help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. If you like
what we do here on Free Talk Live, you can do as Curry has done and get behind the show through our Patreon over at amps.freetalklive.com. You get a few perks, get some benefits from signing up for that. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Maybe you don't care for Patreon, however. It is one of those bigger centralized systems. And so
and sometimes they censor people, Ian. Nobody likes that.
They have done that to some people. They haven't done it to us yet, but it could happen any day. So if you want to go through another way of supporting us, you can do it through the Odyssey channel that we have. If you go to video.freetalklive.com and click join, you can do that for $5 a month. Now, they do charge the fee on top, so... with Patreon, they take the fee out of the $5, so we end up with, you know, four and change. And then with Odyssey, it's $5 plus the fee, so it's like $5.70 and change, yeah. Basically. And so part of that 70-something cents goes to Odyssey. Some of it goes to the credit card processor. So it's a way to support Odyssey, and it's a way to support Free Talk Live. And get access to the Odyssey now members-only chat room. That was a change that we made this week. The Odyssey chat that we have here. By the way, we do have it pulled up in the studio on our studio computer here. So at all times, we have the ability to monitor. It's much easier to monitor now because we don't have that many members. So there aren't that many people that can say things.
Well, it sounds like you've increased the quality, too.
The quality has gone up quite a bit. There used to be a bunch of garbage in that chat room because anybody could go in there. And if you even tried to ban somebody for some reason, they could just go create a new account and 10 seconds.
Right. Yep.
So now they actually have to pay something to get into the chat. So anything you see in the Odyssey chat is being said by someone who's actually back in the show, which is pretty cool. So that's a perk that you get only if you join the Odyssey side of the AMP system. And it's also, again, helps Odyssey, which is arguably the best video sharing platform out there at this moment. So check that out. Head over to video.freetalklive.com. Let's go to John. He's calling us from Battle Creek, Michigan, where we're on the air on WBCK FM. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just want to say, hey, to all 50 states, don't forget about the firefighters and the men and women that are out there humping their rears off, you know, they're doing a good job. I got people out there, and I'm concerned about them. And they're good crews. They're good people. And after they're all done, we got to start replanning.
Isn't it true that like 70% of firefighters are volunteers in the United States?
You're close. I think 65%.
Yeah, that's something right there. I mean, for people to really step up and help out their community and expect no compensation for it, those, to me, are the real heroes out there. I mean, the professionals, okay, they're getting paid, but the people that are really they're putting their lives on the line for no pay except for just the good vibes of the community.
Nobody ever made a song that said, F the fire department, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of logistics behind that too. I mean, you know, you got to feed too. So the big, it's big.
What's big?
And I mean, just to make sure they got water and
food. Oh, the job, the logistics of the thing. Yeah, I get where you're coming from. John, I appreciate the call tonight. Thank you for the kind words, and you're right about that. Certainly, it's hard to be too critical of, you know, people who go out there and fight fires, except for when you find out that some of them are actually setting the fires, and then it's kind of like, okay, now that's unnecessary.
Of the estimated total of 1,041,200 firefighters across the country, 676,900 are volunteer, comprising 65% of firefighters.
Bam, there you go.
Yeah, and as he pointed out, this is a big job. So anyone who's like, oh, that job is too big to be handled by anyone but the government, no, it's not. We can voluntarily organize in fact, more effective ways because we have the efficiency of, if you look at the charities versus government programs doing the same job, the 80-20 split goes the other way. In a government version of it, 80% of that money gets wasted, 20% of it goes to whatever you're trying to get done. In a charity, a voluntary version of this, 80% of it goes to what you're trying to get done and
at
only
least
20% overhead.
Yep. Apparently they don't allow firefighters over age 55 and even 50 in some places because firefighters live on average 10 years less than the general public.
Oof. Yeah, I didn't know that. that.
I didn't know either.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Alu Axelman on the line here from the Liberty Block at libertyblock.org. Alu, welcome to the show.
.com.
Thank you. Where do you go if you end up at .org?
That's right. Sorry, I'm in a bad spot. I'm actually in the Keene area, so if my reception cuts out, I'm sorry.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah, speaking of firefighters being volunteer, EMS also, so emergency medical services,
oh, yeah.
EMTs and paramedics, also a lot of them are volunteer, and also a lot are private companies. So some are private ambulances, and some are private hospitals have ambulances within their hospital system. One of the services they do is EMS.
Do they have an age limit? Like once you're 50 or 55, you can't be EMS anymore?
No, I don't think so. It's rare for people to work in EMS because of, you know, it's a lot of lifting and stuff and hours and overnights. But I've seen people over 50, 60, 65, 70 in their 70s that work with guys. So probably not. But firefighter does make a little more sense to have an age limit.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, everything can be done by the free market better than the government for sure.
So what were you calling about tonight?
Yeah, so the reason I called is I'm like two nights behind. Two nights ago, Bonnie and Nikki and Riley were talking about some articles, some really nasty articles, pretty much saying anyone who doesn't believe in the science is pretty much a right-wing bigot, fascist, extremist, religious nut. And I wanted to say I reject the government institutional science crap. Even though I am a scientist and I've been in medicine for 12 years, yeah. I reject the corona fascism and global warming hoaxes, and I am pretty agnostic atheist.
Wouldn't it be nice if they actually followed the scientific method in the scientific community?
There was a time.
Yeah,
there was.
And there's a lot of gatekeeping to a lot of these studies in the journals about masks and vaccines and stuff, but still, published on the NIH.gov's website, there are a lot of studies, and I have them in my book, The Plague of the Snobby Questions, and in my articles on libertyblock.com, at least 10, 15, 20 studies now in the book showing masks don't work.
Yep.
Surgical masks, N95 masks, they both provide roughly the same protection, which is right around zero. But then there's no protection from respiratory viruses like flu and COVID.
Good book, too, by the way.
Well, Ollie, you just need to have more faith in the science. I mean, that's what all these articles tell me. You just need to have more faith.
Isn't it ironic that after all this time of science people attacking religion over faith and things like that, now the terminology has completely flipped, and now the science side is talking about having faith.
Scientism.
Well, I mean, you just keep demanding all this evidence and logic and, like, things that can be tested. You've just got to believe our priests, I mean PhDs, that this is what's real.
My mother, growing up, super ultra-Orthodox religious Jew, my mother very often said, because I was a skeptic my whole life since I was a baby, I asked her, why should we believe God for this and this, and why would I believe it? And she said, you have to believe it. That's the whole point. If it was easy, if it was signs that God was here, it wouldn't be hard. It would be nothing special to believe in God. It's about the faith itself, just for the sake of faith. That you believe in something you can't really see, and that's what makes it special, and that's why you're going to heaven. So it's a very interesting concept. But yeah, in the book, the book about corona fascism that Captain Kickass did the narration for, I have a whole chapter on religion. I think it's called The New Religion. And it's all about how the scientism, the religion of the corona fascism, the religion of Fauciism as a high priest, it's like a religion with a blind faith and everything, and it's sickening. And I even made their Ten Commandments because they have, you know, the commandments, wear a mask at all times, social distance at all times, and all that stuff, and thou shalt not gather in a group of more than 10.
Yeah.
So, like, they have their whole own 10 commandments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you see this exact same pattern playing out once again in the USSR, where the advertisement for the idea was, we will be rational and scientific about all of this, and really quickly that just breaks down into their own little government priesthood.
Yeah, atheism is the most dangerous religion.
Thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. And if you're out in the Keene area, come on by and see us. I don't know if you have time for it, but...
And you can find his books on Amazon.com, Alu Axelman.
Yeah, check him out. Hey, thanks for the call. And it's the Liberty, or it's libertyblock.com. Don't go to .org. It won't work. Thank you, Alu, for the call tonight.
And if you're wondering, well, maybe it's not a religion, then you should ask yourself, why do they wear gowns?
Yeah, I think more people should follow the money.
Yeah.
Speaking of money, it's a topic we've been talking about throughout the show tonight, and
nice segue.
Let's go to Buenos Aires for a story from the Washington Post about Javier Milei, the what they're they describe him as, of course, they have to put this in.
Right-wing extremist.
No, Trump admiring.
Oh.
That's even worse.
Wait, why is this from Buenos Aires? I thought he was Argentinian.
That's the capital of Argentina.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I see you have the American level of geography.
I probably have less than the American level of geography. But
as the election results set in, Juan Fonrouge knew what to do. First, fill his car with gas, then shop for the essentials. 8 jars of coffee, a dozen cans of mosquito repellent, 100 cans of food, 100 bars of soap. His trunk packed neatly, he posted a picture on social media. The 44-year-old journalist isn't alone. After the surprise primary victory this month, the presidential candidate Javier Milei, the Trump-admiring libertarian economist, at least they gave him the word libertarian in this one, who has promised to dismantle Argentina's central bank, dollarize the economy, and break up the political caste, a beleaguered citizenry has launched into a worryingly familiar crisis mode, rushing to spend their pesos in anticipation of the inflation to come.
Good! That's the wise decision to make when the peso is devaluing at over 100%.
Right, and this is why I thought this was an interesting story, because it gives you a little view into what it's like in a place where you have constant devaluation way beyond what we have here. Fonrouge says, it's a very Argentine thing to do, something for which you're trained from a very young age. Whenever you see prices soaring and the peso nosediving, the first thing to do is stock up to the extent that you can. The action proved shrewd. The day after Milei won 30% of the primary vote, just a couple weeks ago, pushing Argentina's two major political coalitions to the sidelines, the country's Peronista administration delivered a 22% devaluation in the peso. It was almost as though they were punishing the people of Argentina for voting for Javier Milei.
Huh.
They went in and they said, oh, this guy's winning? Let's crank it up. Right, and they turned on the printing presses, devaluing the currency 20% in 22% in like 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's crazy.
Well, it's a tactical move in a number of ways. So first and foremost, okay, we just got a lot closer to the possibility that this scam is going to end. So we better get as much out of these people
that's
that
exactly
we have enslaved as possible before this scam is up.
There was an
and number two, they want to punish the people for having done this.
There was an expectation that the government would somehow muddle through and keep inflation in check until year end, said an economist with the Buenos Aires think tank FIEL, F-I-E-L. He says now that outcome is no longer possible. And by muddle through, they meant 10% a month, because it's over 100% inflation right now.
My
but no,
God,
instead they
man.
Cranked it up another. They went up 20% in one day.
Mm-hmm.
In the days that followed the vote, the peso lost 30% of its value in the black market price. The monthly inflation rate at 6.3% in July is now expected to double in August. Private economists forecast 175% annual increase as the government struggles. I love how they talk about government.
It's so hard not to steal this from you.
Right.
I just can't help myself.
Can't resist it. avoiding hyperinflation. No, this is not avoiding hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is considered 50% annual inflation. They are more than double at that rate at this point before they pulled the 20% out.
It's hyperinflation when I say it's hyperinflation,
right.
Just like a recession.
And looters this week ransacked supermarkets and shops in the Buenos Aires suburbs. Argentina used to, because when inflation gets worse and worse, as we've been talking about people having trouble making ends meet in the United States, well, when it's 100% a year, which is, you know, more than 10 times what it is in the United States, you've got even more desperate people who are willing to do even more desperate criminal acts in order to keep their food on the table by literally stealing it from the supermarkets. Argentina uses its one-day all-primary party to weed out non-viable candidates before the election in October. After the vote, harried Argentines rushed to fill gas tanks and hoard non-perishable food items before the new prices kicked in.
Are they really hairy?
Drugstores imposed buying limits on staples such as hair care products and sanitary pads, so you can only buy so much. Some grocery stores removed price tags from the shelves. Social media users reported. Retail prices on smartphones and electronics shot up 20% overnight. Quote, every Argentine has a dashboard in the back of their minds with a red light on it, said a consumer spending consultant. He said further, when this alarm goes off, a crisis defense mechanism emerges. From then on, it's a race to see who can shed their pesos faster. Whoever falls asleep at the wheel loses.
Yeah.
Claudio Carazzo, 60 years old, has worked in El Porteño, the small grocery store he owns in the Buenos Aires suburb of Hurlingham City, since he was 25. As inflation soars, he's now changing price tags several times a week.
Mm-hmm.
He says in Argentina, prices last barely 48 hours.
Yeah. This is hyperinflation.
Yeah.
This is what it looks like, people.
Yeah, this is the same sort of a pattern that moves you toward where we saw the Weimar Republic, where, mm-hmm. hey, you better spend that on your lunch break, because by the time you're out of work, those prices will have doubled.
Yeah.
And that's why they have to pull the prices off the shelves, because they're going to have to change them, 48 hours now?
Yeah, and
but a week from now, it might be that you change those prices once an hour.
I wonder if you could program digital price tags that would, increase the prices according to the amount.
But can you afford them?
No, of course not. But
just imagine that. Imagine living. This is their life. Okay, this is what it is like to live in Argentina, where, like you said, you get out of work and you go to the grocery store and you're kicking yourself because you didn't wake up earlier and go before you went to work because the prices have gone up.
Now you can only get half your groceries for the week.
He's withdrawn some of his stock from sale. The peso is losing value so rapidly that it's difficult to gauge how much the products are actually worth. In my 35 years as a supermarket owner, he says, I've never seen anything like this. And that's saying something, because the Argentinians went through a currency crisis 20-something years ago, around the turn of the century. And this guy's old enough to remember that, but it apparently is worse now than it was then.
And I'd like to point out that this is another situation where, if you want to know what this is worth, look at the free market. The black market, as they call it, has this at 30% increase instead of a 20% increase, because that's real. And if you want to know, in the same way, if you want to know what the probability of a given political outcome is, look at the betting pools, because that's real.
My heart goes out to everybody who is experiencing this and can't, get by, can't figure out how to make it go, or
makes
one mistake, can't get out. It really just illustrates that the system is completely broken. No matter what government you live under, the system of government is completely broken. It has never actually functioned in a way that is protective of its people. It's only there to rob you of your value, as we're seeing in stories.
He says,
well, I don't think it's actually broken. It's doing exactly
what
it's
designed
to
do.
Right. And the thing is, they're like,
extract wealth from you.
Right. And they're like, hey, we don't know how many pesos these products are worth, because they're not worth an actual number.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much is this sandwich worth in something that you can print? If you have an infinite number of this, how many of those is this sandwich worth?
Well, and of course, one of the problems when you're doing a retail store is, you did buy that product at a certain point in the past for X pesos, and now you can sell it for more, but the problem is, and you might make some pesos on that, but what's
nominal
the next
profit.
But what's the next pallet of items going to cost you?
Right.
When are you going to have to buy that? How soon are you going to be sold out of the current rolls of toilet paper before you can get the next pallet of toilet paper? But is the money that you're collecting now for the rolls of toilet paper going to be enough to pay for the next shipment of toilet paper? And the answer is, I don't know.
And probably not.
Because it all depends on what the politicians do between now and then.
Mm-hmm. Is there going to be another 20% increase tomorrow?
Right.
There's no way for you to know.
It's time to cancel the politicians.
Yeah.
He says, this is the store owner, he says, purchasing power slips away like water through your fingers. Not all is doom and gloom, though, they say. In a Buenos Aires butcher shop, a Malay supporter put up a sign advertising beef at $5 a kilo with the politician's catchphrase, "Long live freedom, damn it." Malay, first-term congressman at age 52, pushed his way to national prominence, and I would say international at this point, by raffling off his salary month by month. His ideas, by the way, my girlfriend, when I moved here to New Hampshire, made a similar promise when she was running for, Keene mayor or something like that, and the attorney general threatened her with bribing a bribing voters charge.
What?
Yeah. If she offered to simply do a giveaway of her paycheck to a randomly selected voter, they were going to say that that was a bribing the voters felony charge would be coming at her. So
further illustration of the bastards that call themselves government.
Yeah. And speaking of the clown show, I just heard about apparently one of the potential nominees for the Republican presidential, the way that they ended up getting the number of donors required to get on that debate stage is that they would send gift cards out to anyone who would give them any donation amount. And right now, the courts are trying to figure out whether or not that's illegal. Because they're not sure if they have a law to make that loophole close.
Which one was that? Which candidate?
I forget.
Okay. That's kind of creative.
It was one that I hadn't heard the name of before.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of creative. You should get credit.
Brilliant.
He should get credit for it. So, anyway, his ideas for transforming Argentina's long underperforming economy, making the country the largest to use the dollar, shutting down their central bank, taking a, quote, chainsaw to government spending, are similarly radical and derided by mainstream leaders as impractical or unmanageable. To campaign consultant Jaime Barba, who guided Mauricio Macri to the presidency in 2015, they sound more like slogans than actual policies. Yet they swayed nearly a third of the voters in this South American nation of 46 million people, home to massive reserves of oil, natural gas, and lithium, but long caught in the cycle of inflation and debt, an apparent signal that the global wave of anti-establishment populism has finally reached these shores. In a sense, it comes as no surprise. The country has grappled with stagnation for over a decade. Inflation is running well over triple digits. Against this backdrop, Milei champions free market remedies and offers himself as a champion of voter anger. Some of his ideas, such as reimposing restrictions on abortion, or making it illegal to buy and sell human organs, unnerve many Argentines. Yet his support reflects how far outside the mainstream some are willing to go to upend the status quo. His election, the first round is scheduled for October, will be the end of the corrupt and inept political caste that plagues this country, he said after winning the primary. And then they talk a little bit about his home life and so on. But they say here, for now, the future is uncertain because he would have to win with 45% of the vote or 40% with a at least 10-point lead.
Do we know when
the rest of the
actual real election?
First round is October 22.
First round.
So if he doesn't win the first round, it goes to a runoff election between the top two.
The top two. Okay.
And to give credit, I think it was Doug Burgum who did that brilliant way of getting on the stage.
Interesting. We are out of time for the radio show tonight, but these guys have time for their show, which is Beer Talk Live. Coming up in about a half hour, 10:30 Eastern Time. Join them over at watch.freetalklive.com. And I love this last line here with one of the voters. He says, I'm voting for Milei. I'm tired of being let down time and again. Now I want to be let down by someone new.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family.
family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.